everybody, for coming today. I'm a PhD student at the University of Minnesota, and I did this work with my advisor, Linda Kinkel. So the work I'm presenting today is about the effect of two management practices, crop residue incorporation versus removal and nitrogen fertilizer, and their effect on the capacity of the soil microbial community to suppress crop diseases. So there's a lot of excellent work out there looking at management practices and disease, but what's actually going on in the soil microbial community is often a bit of a black box. And my goal is to start to open that black box, because I think that by better understanding the interactions within the microbial community, we may be better able to predict what treatments will work in what conditions. There are many mechanisms for disease suppression. The one I'm going to be focusing on is antibiotic production by the soil microbial community. We've seen in previous research that as the density of antibiotic-producing bacteria, specifically Streptomycetes in this case, as their density goes up, disease severity goes down. But in order to manage the microbial community for greater disease suppression, we really need to consider what role the antibiotics play in the lives of the bacteria that produce them. We do see among isolates from the same location, those that have greater overlap in their resource use also inhibit each other more intensely. So that suggests that antibiotics do play a role in inhibiting resource competitors, and that may be a driving force selecting for antibiotic production. The overarching question that I address in this study is how management practices affect the ecology and evolution of those antibiotic-producing pathogen inhibitory bacteria. And my hypothesis going in was that as resource inputs increase, I would see increased inhibition or increased inhibitory capacity in the microbial community. I arrived at that hypothesis based on three pieces of evidence or argument. First of all, there's a lot of ecological models that show antibiotic producers do better in competition with sensitive bacteria when resource availability is higher. And that effect is mediated by density. As the density of the antibiotic producers goes up, the total amount of antibiotics they produce is higher, and so they're better able to suppress the sensitive bacteria. We've also seen in microcosms, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, adding resources does increase inhibition in the community. And organic amendments can increase inhibitor frequency in the field and also suppress diseases, although, again, there's variation in those outcomes. So my prediction was that crop biomass incorporation, as opposed to removal, and fertilizer application would both increase the frequency of inhibitory phenotypes among the Streptomyces in the soil. And to test that prediction, I took advantage of a long-term field experiment. You can see the experimental site in the picture with two treatments in factorial. Above-ground crop biomass was either removed or incorporated into the soil at the end of the growing season, and the plots were either fertilized with nitrogen or not fertilized. All the plots I sampled were corn monoculture. I sampled the soil four times over the course of 2 years. And as a proxy for the ability of Streptomycetes to inhibit their competitors, I measured their ability to inhibit three Streptomyces standards. So at the first sampling date, I isolated 140 Streptomyces strains and did an inhibition assay. Where's my mouse? There's my mouse. Did an inhibition assay where I dotted each isolate on a plate, overlaid it with the standard, and then measured the size of that clear inhibition zone. And then at the other dates, I used a slightly different inhibition assay where I overlaid the standards directly on my soil dilution plates. I also measured Streptomyces and total bacterial density at all four sampling dates, and soil carbon and nitrogen at two of the four sampling dates. And the big banner headline here is that my prediction was completely wrong, which is cool because now I know something I didn't know before. I want to start by orienting you to this graph here. So on the horizontal axis, we have the biomass treatments removed on the left, incorporated on the right. Yellow is unfertilized, green is fertilized. So the treatments are arranged more or less from lowest resource inputs on the left to highest on the right. And then on the vertical axis, I have inhibitor frequency measured as the proportion of isolates that inhibit at least one of the three standards. As you can see, fertilizer had a large and significant negative effect on inhibitor frequency. Biomass incorporation also had a negative effect, which was not as large and only marginally significant. I'm presenting the results from the first sampling date here, but these trends were consistent across all four sampling dates. So to try to understand why the results did not match my prediction at all, I started by looking at the Streptomyces density. Again, I'm presenting the results for the first sampling date. And what I see is that, as you might expect, fertilizer did increase Streptomyces density, but to my surprise, biomass incorporation did not affect density at all. So putting Streptomyces density and inhibitor frequency together in relation to each other, we see that as Streptomyces density increases, inhibitor frequency decreases. Now, I don't know whether that correlation actually reflects a causative relationship or whether it's just that fertilizer affects both density and inhibitor frequency. What I can tell you is that I see similar trends within each treatment, not just across treatments. And so going back to the ecological models and the idea that the effect of resources would be mediated by density, if it is density mediated, it's in the opposite direction of what the models suggest. I also looked at soil carbon and nitrogen, and similarly to Streptomyces density, those were affected by fertilizer but not by biomass incorporation. And what I'm showing is the average of the 2 years. Unlike with density, there were different effects across the different sampling dates, or different relationships between soil carbon and inhibitor frequency across the two sampling dates where I have those data. Soil carbon and soil nitrogen are highly correlated, so I'm showing soil carbon on the x-axis here, but I see very similar results when I do this with soil nitrogen on the x-axis. So at my first sampling date, there's no relationship between soil carbon and inhibitor frequency. At my second sampling date, there's a negative relationship. Again, I don't know if that's causative or just because both are affected by fertilizer. What I do know is that within treatments, there's no consistent correlation between soil carbon and inhibitor frequency. So in conclusion, I found that contrary to my hypothesis, fertilizer and biomass incorporation both reduced the frequency of inhibitory phenotypes in the soil microbial community. And that suggests that the idea that increased resource inputs would increase inhibition is too simplistic. So there's something going on out in the field that the ecological models are not capturing. And I'm not sure what that is. I have some ideas that I'm trying to follow up on, and I'd be happy to discuss those in the question and answer period. For now, I want to close by thanking or acknowledging the wonderful people that I work with and the funding that I've received, and thank you all for your time and attention.
Thank you very much. We have a lot of time for some questions.
Yes. Okay, so the question was about the experiment occurs in the field, but the inhibition is measured in the petri dish. The answer is I was using those inhibition assays as a measure of the soil microbial community's capacity to inhibit, or the streptomyces' capacity to inhibit other streptomyces. So it's similar to I took the soil from the field and I measured soil carbon. I took the soil from the field and I measured this aspect of inhibition. I do realize that what they're actually doing out in the field in terms of producing antibiotics and inhibiting each other may be different from what they do in the petri dish. This was the best measurement I could get of their capacity.
Could you perhaps address it by creating different inhibition markers?
Yes, I would love to do that. That's one of the follow-ups I'm thinking of doing. So the question is, would I get different results if I assayed the inhibitory ability of something else other than streptomyces? Yeah, I'd love to isolate, say, pseudomonads or something and compare their results to the results for streptomyces. I focused on streptomyces because they are abundant in soil, they're known to produce antibiotics, they're known to be related to disease suppression, but there are certainly other taxa that are also related to disease suppression. So the question is, what was the form of fertilizer? I believe it was urea. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what's the explanation for why fertilizer has this negative effect? I don't have a conclusive explanation. I have some thoughts, but they're very speculative. So we've seen in natural systems that there's often a negative correlation between streptomyces density and inhibitor frequency, or between soil carbon and inhibitor frequency. So my results are consistent in that way with what we've seen in natural systems, although not consistent with what we saw with cover crops or green manures as a method of managing the microbial community. But again, with those natural systems, I don't know whether there's a causative relationship between soil carbon or streptomyces density and inhibitor frequency, or whether that's just a correlation. I also think that the level of nitrogen might be more important than we've thought previously. We've focused a lot on soil carbon as a resource, or carbon inputs as a resource. I think it may be important to consider the costs of antibiotic production and how those might vary with environment, which is something that I'd like to look at by manipulating nitrogen levels and carbon. carbon levels in the petri dish. And the reason I think costs might be important is antibiotics generally have a lower, have a higher carbon to nitrogen ratio than microbial biomass. So it could be that if nitrogen is limiting relative to carbon, or is low relative to carbon, the microbes have excess carbon. They can't use it to make biomass because they don't have enough nitrogen, but they can still use it to make antibiotics and kill their neighbors and get their nitrogen. So I don't know for sure, but I'd very much like to follow up on some of these speculations and try to test them.
Okay, we are out of time. I would thank all the speakers and all the publics.